gospel, an epistle, which basically follows a sequence. Right now, we're kind of working our way through Romans. Okay? This is year A, so we're in Matthew. Right now, we're in Romans. And we have an Old Testament lesson that sort of follows the sequence of whatever the gospel lesson is. So sometimes it's really challenging to make all of those lessons during ordinary time congeal into one really cohesive message where everything comes together in a really great message that draws on all three of those readings, especially if you want to get the psalm. But tonight, we have a feast. And the feast, doesn't matter what year you're in, they have one set of readings, regardless of what year they're in. And each of those readings is specially hand-picked just for that night or day. And so, if you were listening carefully, you don't really have to be listening carefully, if you were listening at all, you can tell these readings were really, obviously, tailor-made for this night. We have Moses going up on the mountain and being transfigured by the presence of God. We have Peter talking about his experience at the transfiguration. And then we have Luke's account of the transfiguration. I mean, these are really easy picks for, okay, I've got to pick three readings for the transfiguration. Which ones am I going to... Okay, well, these are easy ones. So, the challenge in preaching this isn't exactly how you make it fit. It's which theme are you going to draw from? So, there's an interesting one that kind of follows in a lot of these, though. And one that I hadn't quite realized. And that's sort of an imminent death theme. Because Peter talked about, I feel it's really important to point this out to you before I leave this tent. And I'm going to leave it, and Jesus told me that I was going to leave it. He's referring to that passage in John's gospel where Jesus said, you know, you are going to die. You are going to be put in chains and someone is going to lead you someplace where you do not want to go. And he said this to refer to how Peter was going to die. So Peter is talking about, hey, I know that I'm going to die soon. And right before I die, there's things that I need to tell you. I want you to know about the transfiguration. I want you to know that we saw these things come to pass. We saw Jesus up on the mountain. Now he leaves out the part where he was like half asleep and then woke up, which also kind of tended to be a theme in his life. If you remember, he was kind of dozing at Gethsemane too. You know, he walked around a lot. He was tired a lot. Give him some slack. But he was near the end of his life. He was probably in prison in Rome, waiting execution. And he said, I know because Jesus told me I'm going to die. I'm going to shuffle off this mortal coil to cast off this tent and go to my true glory. Before I do, I want you to focus on this. This is one thing that you need to focus on. And then our gospel reading talks about what Moses and Elijah were telling Jesus as he was up on the mountain. It says they talked about his coming decease. Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus. And they weren't talking about the Passover. They weren't talking about the parting of the Red Sea, the chariots of fire. They weren't talking about the miracles or the wilderness or heaven, or they weren't trying to explain Daniel. They weren't doing any of that. It says they were talking about what was going to happen in Jerusalem. They were talking about Jesus' coming death. Jesus was thinking about his death. That's an interesting thing to ponder. Most of us don't think about it very often. In fact, most of us spend a very long time trying to avoid thinking about it at all. But it's pretty much the inevitability. We're all going to deal with it. We're all going to face it. And we don't get to choose how we face it. There are people who face it every day in horrible circumstances and abysmal circumstances for things that we take for granted. All we have to do is look at Africa and look at churches that are and homes that are having the letter N painted across their door because those are homes that have been designated as Christian homes, and people who are being targeted as being Christians right now. And look at the martyrdoms that are being persecuted all across the world right now, and see that there are people who are suffering. Death comes to everybody. And somebody raised a question recently that was really, really got right at my heart. And unfortunately, this person raised it in a context of a sermon that they're going to bring in the near future. So I can't go into much detail about it because I would be totally stealing their thunder. And I can't do that. But the person asked about what is important to you and what makes you better at what you love. Knowing that you're going to die, knowing that Moses faced it, Moses screwed up. God said, after all the miracles that Moses wrought, God said, speak to that rock, command it to issue forth water. And Moses hit it with a staff and said, bring forth water. And God said, because you didn't do what I said, you're not going to get to come into the Holy Land. You're not going to get to come into the Promised Land. And Moses saw it, but he never got to enter in. Elijah is taken up into heaven. Jesus died. Peter died. Everybody died. We are all going to die. Are the things that we're doing making us better? Do they make us better fathers? Do they make us better Christians? Do they make us better people? Or are we wasting our time? Moses' time that he spent with God literally changed him. It changed him so much that when he came down, his face shone. with the glory of God. He shone so much that he freaked people out. He had to wear a veil because he was shining so much that it made people nervous. He had spent so much time in the presence of the Lord that people felt awkward around him. Now they knew, beyond a shadow of a doubt, probably because that light cast away most of the shadows, that he was somebody who had communion with God, and if they had a problem, they needed to go to him. So much so that he's had to point people to deal with some of the minor problems. Jesus goes up on the mountain, has that same kind of fellowship with God, and is transfigured to where he has that same kind of radiant appearance. When St. John sees him in Revelation, when he sees him, he sees that same face shining in glory. It's that face that he saw 60 years prior back on that mountain. Now he sees him in exile on that island of Patmos. It's that same face transfigured in glory, shining with the presence and the radiance of the glory of God. You get that from being in fellowship with God. You get that from being in communion with God. There's a term that we often hear, and that's a talk of thin places. You hear this place is, oh, that's a thin place. I love going to so-and-so because there are such and such a place because it's a thin place. The veil between heaven and earth is thin there, and the Spirit moves so easily there. And that may be true. But you know, I have some blue jeans that have thin places. It's true. They've got some thin places right here where my wallet is, because I have the same wallet, and the same wallet goes in and comes out and goes in and comes out and goes in and comes out. I haven't changed my wallet in years. I haven't changed those blue jeans in years. They're very comfortable. And those thin places are because of use. They're because they're worn with lots and lots of repetition. It doesn't have anything to do with geography. It has to do with repetition. It has to do with frequency. If your jeans are worn in the knees, it's because you've been on them often. If there is a place that is a thin place, it's because people have pushed through there a lot. If you want your home to be a thin place, push through there a lot. If you want to be someone who shines, push through. Wear out those blue jeans. It doesn't have anything to do with the geography. It is not about the mountain. It's about who's on the mountain. It's not about the place. It's about who you get to meet there. it's not about God being transfigured on the mountain. It's about you being transfigured on the mountain. And you don't get to stay on the mountain. The whole point of going on the mountain is so that you can change and shine with that light and go out into the world so everybody else can see that light and realize that they don't have it and they want it, and you can show them how to get it. Because it's no secret. There's no mystery on how you ruin a pair of blue jeans. You don't need a special tool. You don't need a special dye. It doesn't take a special chemical. You just do it often. And you don't need special language, special conversation, a book. You don't need any of that. You just keep doing it over and over and over and over, and you see that it changes, and you change with it, and eventually we shine and we are changed. And when we, like Peter, cast aside this tent, we see what that true glory is. We're able to see that we've been pushing through, and what that true reward is.